What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum as well as mints that has caffeine, L-theanine, and vitamins B6 and 12. It's scientifically proven to help with memory and focus. I really like to chew it really all the time. I'll chew it whenever I'm driving around showing houses, making calls to clients, before a workout, when I'm training jiu-jitsu. Just anytime I feel like I need a little bit of a mental boost, I'll pop a piece of NeuroGum and usually gets me to where I need to be. So get out there and try some NeuroGum.
Also, shout out to our people over at Captain Beard Co. So they have sponsored the show and they have unbelievable all natural products focused on your beard. So beard oils, beard balms, beard butters. Also coming out with deodorant and body wash. They do candles, anything that you can think of in terms of manly things. I know candles is not necessarily considered manly, but I love myself a good smelling candle.
Oh, yeah.
And the stuff that they have over at Captain Beard Co. You want to set the mood with your girl, get yourself a Captain Beard Co. candle. They'll be happy.
Take that endorsement.
Yeah. And the shampoo or the body wash and the beard oils and butters and balms smell amazing. I always like to joke, it'll make your girlfriend want to kiss you or your wife. So check out Captain Beard Co. and use the promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off your order.
All right. Now to introduce our awesome guest today. He is the owner of several different companies, a coach, a speaker, the great and powerful Josh Weisler.
Oh, well, thank you for that intro. Yeah,
thanks for joining us. Nice.
Like thanks for coming, man.
The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Great and powerful.
The great and powerful.
Love it.
Well, Josh, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So a little bit about me. I am a, I've been married to my wife for a couple years. We've been together for over a decade. We have three amazing daughters. From previous marriages, all teenagers. And so we've got those, we have multiple animals. We were just talking about my two dogs. And then my businesses, I run three separate companies. I have a coaching company where we coach small business owners. I have a rental portfolio where I now currently have an 11 unit multifamily in South County, St. Louis. I'm looking to pick up more. We actually sold a mixed use this year as well. And then I've got an event in October where I speak and I co-host it, where it's an investor conference where we bring in multiple investors this year. We have 30 plus. Last year we did we did 17. And it's expanded and it's gotten much bigger. We've got a team now. And so those are the three arenas I play in. Narrowed down the focus from the years of like doing a bunch of different things. And those are the zones that I'm really loving participating in.
That's awesome. I couldn't think of a better guest to fit every topic of discussion for the podcast.
Right. Exactly. You know? So I don't know where we want to get started here, but like, so I guess in your questionnaire, you said that, you know, most of your income is from your coaching business. So I guess, how did you get into that? When did that start?
Yeah. So I got into coaching. I've been different forms of a coach for years. I've been doing it for about a decade in the personal development world. And then when I left my job full time, I was selling airplane parts in Granite City, Illinois for small engine aircraft. And I got connected with a coach and a speaker in the St. Louis area. I don't know if you know him, Jason Palliser. He's connected with Alyssa Rospoli, but they have what's called a 2-day blueprint. And I had known him for about a decade before I was purchasing my house, selling these airplane parts. And he reached out to me because I used a referral from him. And so through how that worked, I wanted to learn real estate and wholesaling specifically. I'd been trying to get into real estate and investing for years. And he reached out to me saying, "Hey man, you're going to use my mortgage lender and you know you are because we're going to take care of you." And I said, "Hey, it also might look like me working for you. I don't know what that looks like, but I really feel like I want to do that." And he said, "Talk to my acquisition person." So we ended up working together and he had been coaching forever. And so I started helping him coach. And then after a couple of years, we parted ways. I went and worked project management for another company and was training their acquisition people. Was not intended, but they brought me in and they're like, "Hey, we want you to train." And so through the whole time, I'm coaching, I'm training. It's just what I love doing. And at that point, that company I was working project management for which a lot of people do experience in entrepreneurship, they pivoted and they went solely virtual. So like I'm out there rehabbing projects in St. Louis and then they go virtual. They don't have much for me to do at that point. They brought me back in. They wanted me to do cold calling and stuff. And it just was like, and it didn't really fit. Right. And so I had a conversation with them about like, hey, I was wanting to learn project management, eventually hold my own rentals. And if this isn't the direction we're heading, like, let's have a conversation around that and how we can get me back out there. And they said, well, actually, we've not been knowing how to have this conversation. We're going to go ahead and let you go. And it was like, oh, okay. So at that point, it really became clear to me, like, what did I want to do in my world? What did I want it to look like? What was I good at? What did I really want to lean into? And coaching was it. Came up after licking your wounds for a couple of days. Sure. I said, you know, okay, what does this look like? I went out, talked to my network. I got a handful of clients. And then I realized it was like, okay, this is cool. And I have clients, but I want to make this more of a business and feel like more of a business owner. And I connected with my current partner, Grant, in the coaching company. He's been a broker out in St. Charles forever and a day. He's got a rental portfolio. He's got other businesses that he's worked on. One of the smartest business owners I knew at the time. And we started talking, and eventually it ended up being like we created a investment brokerage at the time was the plan. And so we started doing wholesaling. We made 6+ figures in the first year. I was mentoring other real estate investors that like, hey, I've got a lead, but I don't know how to close it. So we created this process where we were mentoring them. And as we started growing, we realized we wanted to help other investors as well. We started bringing them in and running it like a traditional brokerage through an investment model. We found real quick that entrepreneurs in the investment world don't operate the same way as traditional real estate agents. I'm sure you're shaking your head like you know, yeah, right?
For sure.
Right. And what we found is like trying to get them to run infrastructure that is our infrastructure as well as our processes. Kind of like herding cats, unless they specifically have an accountability. We were splitting revenue on the back end, not paying them, right? A commission and a draw. And so we made that pivot where, okay, what are we actually providing them? Well, we're providing them structure. We're providing them some coaching. We're providing these things. And we said, okay, what if we pivot it to a subscription model instead? And we pivoted and we had 7 or 8 people right out of the gate. And we've grown it into what we found is the investors really liked it. They were getting value from it. And we had some other business owners that we thought, hey, our principles and our concepts and our structure might work. And so we brought in Corey Boyles, who's a real estate photographer, one of the best out there in St. Louis, my opinion.
100%.
Right. And yeah, and he went through our program. He was one of our intro guys as far as small business owners. We've got a gem demo and junk removal company that's had major success. American Junkers. I don't know if you've heard of them. And so we started pivoting into the small business world. And so that's how that came to fruition, that evolution. And so that's what we've been working on over the last year and a half. So that's still in startup mode. The real estate investing, this is a interesting story. That ended up coming to fruition. I've been trying to get into real estate investing for years. Never was able to make it happen. Did wholesaling, but never was really able to get one. I've done leasebacks and so had them for a small time. And this guy, through my network, he actually brought to me a deal and he's like, I want you to help me wholesale it like off market. I said, okay, cool. I looked at it. It wasn't a great deal with what he was asking for it. And I said, I pre-negotiated because I'm very upfront with all of my people. When I sell off market was like, I want a $15,000 fee on this if we're going to sell it. And beforehand, before whatever you're getting your offer, he was cool with that. He was wanting it out at 450. He initially took an offer at 380, so a 70 cut, and he was talking about financing, helping the buyer on the back end buy it. It's like, okay, cool. Guy walked it. It had major roach infestation, like, and so the guy walked. And my thought was, well, he's looking to take 380 for it, and he's got my $15,000 fee in there. I was like,
365?
Yeah, 365. Well, and I even said, I was like, hey, Barry, what if we bought it at 370? I'll save you $5,000. But we're going to take over the mortgage payments.
Like sub two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Subject two. Very creative, which you learn is if you don't have right. the money to do it, you get creative. Right.
Yep.
And it's one of the things we teach our business owners as well is like, how do you need to move through to get what you're looking for? And so it ended up coming to fruition by the person. I actually went out of town when I had that buyer that was going to walk through, and my partner in the deal, she was one of our agents at the time, the investors. And I said, hey, can you walk this guy through? When I get back into town, they ended up walking. And I said, in this meeting, just by happenstance, which happens a lot of times in life, I just said, I was like, man, if I could get a partner on this that like supports my weaknesses, as it were, sure. It's like, I would do this in a heartbeat. Right. She goes, I'd be interested. Like, snap. Okay. We ended up walking it through. We bought it. The deal has not been anything close to what we anticipated when we took it, but it's been a growth of 2 years. It appraised for $100,000 more than we needed it to. It's been a great deal. Great learning lessons. Like, literally had like 4 deaths in that building. It's it's a little lower income, but not like, I shouldn't say in the building. I should say, or tenants or their relatives. So, and it didn't happen in the building. They were just tenants at the time and they passed, most of them in the hospital. So, we've elevated it. It's, we're not there almost at all anymore, but it's been a great experience. And like, now the event that happened, again, one of those, it happened in passing. Mm-hmm. I was on a panel with my co-host on the event, Rich Groves. He has a small real estate investment community, and they were doing panels, and I was a part of the panel. I got off the panel. It was the best reception and the best attended event he's ever had. And in the back of the room, he just mentioned in passing, he's like, I'd like to really have an investor conference like this. And I was like, if you really want to do that, let's do it. And so that's transpired as well. I'm really finding in my lane, helping people go after their dreams and like the things that they want in life is really where I'm finding a lot of my joy and my value. And then, yeah, that's kind of the business aspect. And then just in my personal life with my wife, like building out a life of where we're just really having a great time. Like if we had talked a year ago, we were not in a great place, but like, we are in a great experience now where we've made those choices and we've gotten the support to, we have just the example we talked about, like we had a TV fall off of our room yesterday, and a year ago, it would have been like, oh my God. And it would have caused a lot of stress. And last night we were sitting there like taking the stuff out to the trash. Yeah. We were laughing
about it.
Yeah. Laughing and having a great time. And it's just like, it's really very grateful on how like just, and finding more and more every day, like how to be grateful with everything that's happening. And if we can do that, if I can do that, my life seems to operate much more fluidly and much more powerfully. So I know that was kind of a long answer.
That's what we want.
A lot of stuff going, a lot of stuff to unpack.
Right.
Well, first, where's the 11? You said it's 11 unit, right?
Yep.
You said it's in South County. Where's that at?
Just outside of Jefferson Barracks at the north entrance.
Cool. Okay. Yep. Yeah, I know exactly where you're
at. Right off of South Broadway.
That's awesome, man. Yep. Yeah, dude, I love, that sounds like a great property, especially when you got it subject to. I mean, that's incredible. I bought a property that way, and it's definitely like my favorite one that I own. It's just because it's like, I mean, it was a creative way to buy it, and it, you know, we got into it for a hell of a deal. And
yeah.
I mean, can't complain about that one at all.
Not at all. Yeah. And that's one of the things, like we bought it. It was my first long-term buy and hold, and we've elevated on like what we're looking to buy. So like getting into more like McPherson's in Central West End and like more A and B properties. Mm-hmm. This one is probably a C, and it still holds a place in our heart.
Cause it's our first one
and the trials and tribulations, and like, that's just a small, but yeah,
I'm sure you've learned so much.
Oh, lifetimes, life. I could fill this whole podcast for an hour and a half with the stories from just the past 2 years with that building.
Believe it. Yeah. I've made a lot of boo-boos with mine, and you know, that's how you learn, man.
Exactly.
I mean, it's never easy. You know, it's never just that's one of my favorite lines is, you know, I'll have people that'll reach out to me and like, yeah, I want to invest in real estate. Cause I help a lot of retail buyers. I also help a lot of investors. But that's one of the, I know that I got some teaching to do whenever they tell me they want to get into real estate for some passive income.
Oh,
and
passive.
I'm like, oh, that's cute.
And that's it. Like, oh, real estate is so sexy. Everybody loves it. It's the wealth builder.
It is a wealth builder, but like, for sure. It's over time, the
amount of work that you got to put in. I hope people realize that aspect.
And it's not passive. It's never like, even if you buy something, for most, I can't say like the billionaires, but
right.
Like the people that are going to build a rental investment portfolio, even if you have managers, it's not passive.
No.
You are actively managing the managers. You're still working it in some form or fashion.
You're still answering phone calls.
Yeah.
You're still getting called with problems.
Yeah. And that's for us a lot of times what we talk about is like the evolution. You have this dream and this vision you're going after for the next year. And I was even talking about it with Laura in our meeting this morning. It's like we have this plan. And knowing when we get to that place in our plan, we are going to want to go further than that. And right. it's going like, in order to grow, you're going to have those trials and tribulations at whatever level you're at, that's going to push you to grow. And so, yeah, it's not a, I'm going to get there. Destination addiction is what I call it with a lot of our people, is like, there's no destination you're going to get to that's going to solve everything you think is wrong in your life.
Never.
Well, because new problems are going to come up at the same time. I mean, that's just growth in general.
You Correct. Know? Yeah. And the gratitude to understand like, oh, I asked for this.
Right.
I asked for this adversity. Like it's growing me in some way, shape or form in order for me to get to where I want to go.
Right.
But a lot of people don't embrace that. And that's when, in my opinion, they quit. You know, that phrase.
They want it easy. Nobody wants to work for anything.
Well, and I think, yeah, contemplating that, I think people do want to work. I just don't think they know. For me, one of the things we talk about my dog, one of the things for me, and I'm sure you guys have heard this, like only take advice from the successful people that you want to live their life with, right?
Right.
In my opinion, I agree with that to a certain extent. And if that's the only way you're taking advice or you're learning lessons, you are missing out on a whole wide array of learnings from just life.
Right.
Like a perfect example for me, my dog, Tovi, we talked about my first dog. She taught me what commitment looks like. And I only found this because I had dogs when I was young and I loved them. Like it was great. And then I had dogs as I got older and I was an adult and it wasn't such a great experience. And I always like, oh, not with the dog, but like one would injure her tail on the walls and one wouldn't. And what I found before I got good with this, because my wife wanted the dog and I had to get there with her, I had to ask myself.
What the fuck was that?
the other painting fell down.
Well, I saw the camera start shaking. I'm like, yo. Well,
not an earthquake. Well, are we good?
Yeah, we're good.
It's we'll edit that out.
Sorry, we'll take it back a second. Yeah. Let's let it.
Trying to hang all these before the.
I think it's the blue one.
Let's try the blue one.
No, wrong one.
Green.
There you go.
That'll do.
There you go. All right.
Honestly, I might keep that in there.
Yeah, hung a bunch of the pictures on the wall down here before the show starts.
Right. Honestly, that'll probably be a good reel. Be like when you think that wall tape is strong enough.
Yeah, that
we need a wall tape sponsor. Yeah. Let's go.
Gorilla.
Come on, Gorilla Glue.
Yeah.
Right. What I wouldn't give for that sponsorship.
Oh, yeah. Like post-it notes or something. Yeah.
But like Gorilla Glue is fucking strong.
Man. Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Real shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Flex Seal as well.
Yeah, Flex Seal.
Hi, Billy Mays here for Flex Seal. Wait, Billy Mays was dead before Flex Seal came out. But you know what? If Billy Mays would sponsor the show.
Well, with AI,
if Billy Mays was
possible.
Alive when Flex Seal came out.
I'll
take AI Billy Mays.
And if he was still alive when that came out, that would be the best selling stuff ever.
Dude, if he was still alive today, he'd be a billionaire.
Oh my gosh, for sure.
Oh, without a
bare minimum.
Absolutely. His social media accounts would be insane.
Oh,
He was dead before social media was really
right.
Yeah, he died 2009.
Oh, yeah.
He'd have like all the links.
Oh yeah,
click the link and have all of his things.
Oh my god,
His TikTok shop would be insane.
I'd love to see like a podcast go down between like Billy Mays and Bruce Buffer. I feel like this would be the coolest shit ever.
All right, two of the greatest voices. Anyway,
of all time.
That was a fun interruption.
Yeah. Sorry. Where were we?
I'm not sorry.
Talking about the dogs and
we were talking about learning lessons from outside of just the people that you admire or you like think are the success that you want. So with Tovi, what came to me in order to get good with this is like, what is keeping me from like expecting the experience I had when I was a kid? And what really came to me was like, I enjoyed being a dog owner that didn't have any responsibility of being a dog owner, which when you're a
your
kid,
parents.
You know,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. My parents took care of it. And then I realized, so for me, what I understood in that commitment now is like, if I'm going to say yes to a dog, I have to say yes to every piece of what a dog is going to require. And for me, that was like, and again, you can plan out what that means, but like the full commitment requires some faith in my experience with Tovi is it was like, oh, midnight poops or like, oh, she's going to have an accident and oh, she's going to get sick probably. And we're going to have to navigate things. And Tovi was a great example of this where you have all these things. She got in the first 9 months of her life, we had to have two surgeries with her.
Oh, wow.
Because she ate socks.
Oh, boy.
The first one, which we found out, like, even after cleaning our house and laundry, is it, like, the cats would find them from the basement and bring them up, which they had done before. But, like, she had eaten, I think, 8 or 9 socks, passed all but one of them. Yep. And then we got that handled where she wasn't eating socks anymore. And then she ate a corn cob at some point. They think it was my wife's work. She takes the dog to work. She works at a Petropolis. They have a barbecue joint 2 places down. They think crows took corn cobs out of the trash and were dropping them in the areas where the dogs were. So she ate a corn cob. So she had 2 surgeries within the first 9 months that we weren't anticipating, that we weren't planning for, like, financially either.
Sure. Yeah.
And, of course, after the second one, the company's like, hey, by the way, did you know about pet insurance?
Yeah.
Right. It's like, I do now. Yeah. So yeah, like, and for me, that was an experience of, like, yeah, I committed to this. And it taught me, like, also a lot for her in my relationship with her, because, you know, she's a puppy. She's a big dog, too. So she's probably only going to be around for 8 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. And now she's had 2 surgeries, which is going to impact that. So, like, now every time I interact with her, it's like, oh, that part of me that comes up of, like, she's not going to be here forever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a little sadness comes up. But then also it's like, I'm going to help her live the best life. And I'm going to just love her, as it were. Obviously, boundaries. But, like, I'm going to be grateful that she's here in the moment. And so for me, if I'm always just searching and looking towards people that have that, like, success, if they have that type of energy as well, that's fantastic. But also, like, what am I missing by only looking to that experience, right? And that type of learning. So, yeah. And for me, like, in my life, as we talk about manhood and, like, being a father, and, like, that's the type of stuff I want to teach my kids. Right. Because for the first, I would say, 7 to 8 years, 10 years of their life, hell, even late last year, it's always an evolution. But, like, I've realized I've had so much stuff to work through that it impacted them as kids. And so now they're dealing with it as teenagers, and they're having these intense experiences. But at my evolution, as in my own personal growth, like, I feel way more prepared to help them through the teenage years than my parents were with me, as well as, like, more than I was when they were young. Like, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It does.
So, yeah, that's just kind of how I not only approach business, but, like, I'm also approaching my life and my life with my kids. And your kids, in my experience, business, your personal relationship, your significant other, and your kids are going to be the biggest reflection of where your personal growth lies. One of the things my kids said, like, late last year when I was working through some stuff with my wife, she said, one of my kids said, like, yeah, do you guys even love each other? And it was like, we do, and damn.
Yeah.
Right? Because if that's how they're receiving it,
right,
then
not showing it.
We're not showing it as we really should. And so, like, that was a wake-up call. And then also just in my journey over life as a father, like, there have been times where I've realized I'm imparting things onto my kid unintentionally, like shame and guilt. And, you know, like, I used to yell because I thought, like, they wouldn't do what they were supposed to. How many times?
Right.
Yeah. How many times can you say the thing before you're like,
I got to say it a different way because you're clearly not hearing it.
Right. And, you know, that's what I learned from my stepdad and all that. And then you do that to a point where, you know, my daughter, you know, and we spanked when I was young or when they were young. And you're like, you know what my dad said? I'll give you something to
cry
like,
about.
Yeah, I'll give you something to cry about. Or I'll what was the one I said to her? I was like, you know, oh, if you don't do that, you're going to be asking for trouble. And my daughter straight looked me in the eye and goes, maybe I want trouble. Yo, right. Yeah. And that is the kind of shock that makes you realize, like, oh, I'm going to have to hurt her if I'm really going to get that point across. And that is not what I want to do as a father.
Right.
So then it's like, okay, reset. Obviously this path is not working. Right. And the same thing happened when I was yelling, like, a couple of years ago. And this is how, you know, like, for me, this phrase that started coming up, like, you know, where growth is occurring. I used to yell, and my daughter, she was starting to have a breakdown, and she's like, I just don't understand why you're yelling. And I said, because I don't feel like I'm being heard. And then I had to reflect and be like, okay, well, where am I not hearing myself? And I started changing that. So every time I would feel that anger kind of rise or that frustration, it'd be like, okay. And it took a while to stop yelling, and it eventually calmed down to, like, just raising your voice. And then eventually it became like, oh no, there's other paths. I don't have to use that as a tool, realizing now that tool is still there. But, like, the conversation we have now with kids, like I'll talk to my daughters about changing how they're showing up. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, hey, you guys remember when I used to yell all the time? They're like, yeah. I go, do you remember how long ago or how, like when the last time was that I yelled? Like, no, I can't remember. And I said, because you have to make the choice to change, right? And it doesn't happen overnight. It's a practice over and over again. And it's the same thing, like my kids taught me that, not some like guy that has a bunch of money out there that I'm following, but like they taught me that. And I take that into our business of like practice, find proof, like all those things. So yeah, like fatherhood, my wife, my dogs, my family, like they have been one of the greatest sources of growth for me, my personal and like emotional. And for me as well, like with businesses, emotional maturity, emotional regulation, like that shortens that refractory period of you getting in your own way, if that makes sense. So like when you're frustrated, when something goes sideways that you're not expecting, like how often can we get frustrated and mad and we get stuck in that and then it's not productive?
Mm. Well, and I think that like everybody focuses on IQ, but people don't really focus on EQ. And I think that's just as much as an importance as having an IQ, not more. And
fully agree.
I think that's one of the biggest things that I've learned as a father is the emotional side of things. Cause I mean, I would like to think that I'm intelligent, you know, and the way that I can learn things and things like that. Like I feel like I'm intelligent. The emotional side of things, because of my past with baseball and sports, like you had to be super emotionally intelligent to be successful in baseball because it is 100%, or I shouldn't say 100%, but like, I mean, the majority of the game is mental.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to control your mental toughness, which requires you to have control over your emotions.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that, like, once you get out of it, it's very easy to lose when you're not testing it.
Mm.
And I feel like I lost that until I had kids.
Oh, okay.
And then once I had kids, I had to relearn and come back and relearn some of that emotional intelligence that I had just so I wasn't, because there was times where I like get super frustrated and I'd yell.
Yeah.
And then it's like, why am I yelling? Like, what is it? Like, is it because it's not that what they did, it's just that it surprised me and it took me out of what I was doing. So I was mad about that.
Yeah.
And so I took that out on them. And it took me a long time to realize that, or it took me a couple of years to realize that. But once I did, I mean, it's the same thing that you're saying. It's learning as you grow. And if you have the EQ and IQ, you can really learn from anybody.
Yeah.
And or any situation, but ultimately it comes back to just doing. We have this conversation all the time. Like you mentioned, like, hey, yeah, we had plans in place, but we just jumped on this and learned as we went. You know, that's kind of what we did with this podcast. Was we had no clue what we do. We made a quick plan on what we wanted to do, and we literally like
record 3 days later.
So yeah, so he texts me. He texts me on a Saturday. Hey, you want to do this? Fuck yeah, let's do it. We met
at Omen.
Yeah, and we met we met that Monday. That was Saturday. We met Monday at Omen. By Wednesday, we were recording.
My man remembers the days.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. This was, I mean, this is kind
of like, transformational.
This is like one of those things that is changing my life. Like, I look forward to this every week, and it's been a big part of my life. I mean, and just the people I've gotten to meet, being around these guys all the time, like, that's the thing is, like, we just jumped.
Yeah.
And we're figuring it out as we go. We're still nowhere where we want to, not anywhere close to where we want to be.
Yeah.
But we're learning as we go and we're getting better. At least I think we're getting better with every episode.
I would say so.
For sure.
You know, but that's the thing that people aren't really doing. They're not taking that leap. They're not taking that jump. They'll sit there in the planning stage forever. And you know, you're not going to learn anything from the planning stage. Like you can, you can learn some things, but you're not going to learn shit until you actually do it.
A big piece of that is accountability though. And I mean, you know, you guys hold me accountable to creating a quality podcast. I hold myself accountable to that. You know, you have to hold each other accountable to recruiting people to come on and making sure the questionnaires are filled out. And I actually want to pivot real quick back to what Josh just talked about, which is like, you had to take accountability for the fact that your go-to tool was anger.
Right.
I sympathize with that very hard because like these guys, I came in the other week when I thought my camera was broke. Did I look happy?
No.
Did you want to be around me?
No.
All right. I don't want to be around me personally.
Right.
In those moments. Yeah. Half the time I'm a good guy. But especially whenever it comes to parenting, I'm the only person here who doesn't have a kid. So full recognition of that. But I am someone's kid. My mom comes from that old school background of like, hey, do what I say or I'll hit you. And she was never one to like really hit me.
Yeah.
But she used her emotions to communicate what she was feeling. And then that left a And I'm not saying I blame her for this. It's generations of trauma, but I hold myself accountable for reproducing that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we're the age where I'm a legal adult, I live on my own, I run my own business, I pay my own taxes, I'm a convicted felon for drug possession, who owns his own house, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm a fucking adult.
Yeah.
I often reciprocate with that anger back now, and she doesn't yell back anymore, but she's never once said, have you ever noticed I don't yell anymore? So now it's up to me to be like, hey. She's probably never going to say that.
Right.
But I can still make the change. So yeah. I just didn't want to go by without remarking how powerful that was.
Oh.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with it. Like, I sympathize with that as well. I get frustrated with our two-year-old. He's just a crazy person right now. And but anyway, like I was saying, I relate to that a lot because, I mean, my natural reaction sometimes is to yell.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that with my son, and he's, you know, 2.5 years old. So he does, you know, I don't think he's understanding every single thing that I'm saying, but
no,
he definitely has a favoritism toward his mother. Like only like wants her to do everything. Only wants her to, you know, give him a bath. Yeah. He only wants her to put him in the car. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, so it's all these things. It's just really frustrating to me. And I just have to like stop and think for a second. And like, really before I initially like react, cause my initial reaction is like, dude, just let me do it. I'm right here. You know, that's what I want to like say and yell. But I'm like, all right, let me think, like, what's going through his head right now? And like, mm-hmm. What's the best way for me to react? That's not going to elicit, this kind of spiral out. But one little thing of practice that I've like seen for me is just like taking a second and really thinking about what I'm going to say before I say it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, something that I don't naturally do. I feel like I naturally just blurt out the first thing that I say and feel.
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem for everybody in every situation, not just when it comes to dealing with kids.
Yeah.
Just in business, like your initial reaction is to respond.
Yeah.
Instead of like, I mean, there's been times where like I do this on like when I get an email that I don't like, or for, I get something smart, like somebody being a smart ass. I will take an hour before I respond to that. Like, I'll type out what I really want to say, and then I'll delete it.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back and I'll respond to it, because
there's a lot of messages I write that I never send.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Same.
Yeah. The phrase that comes to mind is like, never make a decision or an action in heightened emotions or lowered emotions.
Right. Mm.
Like, if you're doing it from either one, you're probably not doing it from a centered place.
Right. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. And just a piece on like the kids, especially, and I didn't find this, I didn't get this awareness from my journey until after I started making these pivots with my anger and stuff. Kids actually, they learn. And so it kind of hits on like what Murphy said and what you're experiencing with your son. Children, because they don't know the emotions they're dealing with, they will work to have their parents feel the exact same emotions that they're feeling. Okay. So when you feel out of control because he won't let you do something, he is probably
feeling the same.
Yeah, he's feeling that same, and that's how he gets control. And I can extremely see this with how my interaction with my mom was growing up. Like, she had anger.
Yeah.
Like, but I knew if I could get her to anger, I would be in control. Like, I would take that control back by pushing her to a point where she would get so angry where, like, and she was, like, 5 foot nothing, and, like, she backhanded me one time and like sprained her thumb. And, like, so it was one of those. I was a football player and, like, 250 pounds and, like, you know, bigger than I am now, actually. And it's one of those. It's like looking back is like, oh yeah, I can see how I played a part in that. Yeah. Like, I blamed her anger and all those things. And it's like, yeah, I can see how I kind of contributed. And so, and that's the same thing. Like, now that I have that understanding, when my kids say things or they do things that like, poke me, I'm like, what are they feeling? Like, because I know like what I'm feeling right now is uncontrolled. Like, they're probably trying to take control back from me. And that's, you know, it is what it is. So,
right. Well, and what's great is like that we can sit here and talk about this, and that we have the resources, and it's not just us, but like, it's out there for people to like watch and learn from that. Like, our parents didn't have. So I have this conversation with my therapist a lot when we go, because it talks about parents and all that. And I had a really good conversation with my dad the last time I was down in Florida about different things, but without going into too much detail. But it was basically, you know, learning how he, like, because he grew up without a father. So he didn't really have a father figure to learn from. So he was winging it as a father. Well, now I'm looking at the good things that he did. And obviously, we always want to be better than our parents. And so now it's like, all right, well, I want to take the
good things that he did and learn from those, but then also like try to understand where the rest of it came from.
Mm-hmm.
Where before there wasn't that information out there for people to like, hey, that's a good way to think about it. Like, let me think about it that way. That wasn't there. And like therapy was taboo. No one wants to go see a therapist. I think it's the greatest decision I've ever made.
Oh yeah.
And he's helped me recognize those things. And I don't know, it's just the way you can go about and learn things these days allow us to be better parents than previous generations.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the things we focus on, especially like for how I look at our coaching and moving business owners through is like, and you'd kind of touched on it, like therapy is one thing for the emotional world. I don't like, we make the biggest moves and the biggest evolutions in our lives by discovering where our blind spots are costing us time, effort, and money. Like, and so as a business owner, as like you're talking about with therapists, we are a whole individual, but we only see in one direction. And so our blind spots are behind us in the areas we can't see. Just like satellites orbiting the Earth, the satellite can't see the entire planet. It has to bounce off of a different satellite to see the back end and communicate with it. That's what support does. Like I started that journey probably over a decade ago. I ended up, because my stepdad was an alcoholic, I ended up in Adult Children of Alcoholics. I was using a personal development coach, but I ended up back ending into that by reading a couple different books on like codependency and like it ended up leading into like a codependent book and then leading into like Adult Children of Alcoholics book. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then as I kept reading it, I was like, oh yeah, I can see all of this.
Yeah.
And so then like you go down that path of getting support, and that whole thing is all about like you grow up not trusting your feelings, not honoring what you're actually seeing. And so as you start being really honest with your experience and then communicating and working through those blind spots, you start having evolutions. You start having experiences. I equate it to the hot air balloon. Most people think if I work harder and I pull that thing to put more heat and energy into it, it will rise quicker. The actual quickest way to raise a hot air balloon is to cut the sandbags off the side. And that's really all the stuff that we've been carrying around for years, is the stuff from our childhood, the stuff from our teenage years, the traumas and the dramas that we haven't addressed or we don't know how it's impacting us.
That's a great way to think about
it. Yeah, getting real clear on how it's impacting us. And we don't have to go find out like the 12 reasons why.
Right.
We just have to find out how it's impacting us and then start making new actions when that experience comes up again. So that's kind of how we look at it.
Oh, that's really good. I like that analogy a lot. Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's worked.
No, I love that. Yeah.
So
great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, with the coaching, you mentioned, so you started off on the personal development side. Now you're doing business stuff.
Yeah.
Is there a specific market that you're going after in terms of business coaching, or is it just in general? I know you did the real estate stuff and things like that. Have you guys ventured out into other like industries?
Industries. Yeah. So for us, really the people we're looking to connect with are service providers, because really you're selling yourself, like, right. And you guys get that in your industries. Service providers that are, you know, and we have services ranging anywhere from like a grand to a full year of service with like full package for 24. And it really depends on where you're fitting. New business owners that are going out and being entrepreneurs, like our intro service, it really gets clarity on what you're trying to do. For a lot of people, we have what's called like kind of the core wound or the core experience, where you're trying to, I'm building a business because like I'm trying to solve my feelings of inadequacy or I'm trying to do this. And what we find is, and you guys might understand this, like, hey, there's this new lead generation approach. I'm going to go do that. And you have the same impact and the same effects with it that you did in every other lead generation approach. You're missing a blind spot. Like, and we, that first service, like, is all about finding out where your blind spot is. That's impacting everything that you're doing. And then we build out a year vision. Like for us, the year transformation is huge, because that requires like proof that you're, or the purpose on like building a life that's bigger than the one you currently have. And how do you get there? And then maintaining that over time. And we connect like your metrics to it. We connect your 90-day goals. And so like we really, the guys that we found have had the longest and the most impact in their businesses working with us are the guys that went out to build a business, and they're probably a couple years in and they've got good revenue, but they've realized it's like, this feels no different than a job. I've built a job for myself. And so those are the guys, like, and also they're ready to let it go. I don't know if you guys have had this experience, but you'll talk to somebody and they will say that, like, they're having this trouble. And then you talk to them again 3 months later and they've got all the reasons why the troubles are still there, mm-hmm. as opposed to I've been working for these 3 months to figure out how to let it go. Right. We're really good with dealing with the guys that have gotten either it's so painful or they see the writing on the wall that something has to change. Kind of the same thing with my daughters and my growing up with my.
So what would like give an example of like, what do you mean by like, let it go? Like what's some like, without getting too personal.
Like it's just gotten, that's a good question. I've never had that question before. Letting it go looks like I have a commitment that this is what I'm going after, and whatever is willing to come up for me, I'm willing to work through it to move through it. As opposed to like, I wasn't able to do that this week because, you know, X, Y, and Z got in the way. And then that pattern repeats for multiple weeks. Like, if that makes sense. So it's, and maybe this is a little better definition. The guys that we work the best with are the guys, not that they're having trouble getting into action. And I'll talk about the three different analysis paralysis. It's not the guys that have trouble getting into action. It's the guys that are taking too much action and they're not getting the results they want because they have that blind spot that they're not seeing and they are spread too thin, right? They've got too many avenues and it's really about like stepping back, looking above your business and seeing like, I'm ready to let go of working in my business and more building a business, right? If that makes sense. And then with that, how analysis paralysis works into it. We kind of talked about it. The tactical analysis paralysis is like, I'm afraid to take an action because I'm afraid I'm going to screw it up. So in the real estate world, like making an offer on a house, repair estimates, sure. like, I don't know if this is going to work out numbers wise. That's tactical analysis paralysis. That's where I'm not going to take an action because I'm afraid of screwing it up. Strategic analysis paralysis is where most entrepreneurs that are a little more seasoned run into difficulty, where it's like, I've got too much information. This is kind of what we talked about. They've got too much information and they're taking too much action. There's so many pros and cons to any course of action. Like, I don't know which one to take that's going to have the best resource. Trying to thread the needle strategically, and it's not going to work. You just got to figure out, get to a point in your process where it's like, I'm going to trust whatever action or direction I take is going to be the right action, because I'll either have success with it or I'll have a big enough lesson. And that takes a muscle building as well in that regard. And then the last one, the guys that are really, like we talk about letting go, they're the ones that are having potential paralysis, which means I am afraid to lean into my power so much that I know how powerful I am. And I don't know if I've got enough character to support it where I'm not going to do damage in that power.
Would you say that's like imposter syndrome?
Yes. Yeah. And speaking from my own, like my core wound is a feeling of inadequacy. So right. like every time I have another level and I have a success, it's like my character, I have to rebuild that character over time to feel that on a consistent basis and live that life on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. So I'll get a taste of it. And it kind of scares me of like, ooh, if I maintain this, like I'm going to let people down. I'm going to end up. The one big one that's came up that I've worked through over the past year was like, when I get so successful, I'm going to be so successful that like, I'm going to treat my wife like crap, or I'm going to treat the people around me like crap, become arrogant.
Yeah.
And I've worked years. That's not my character anymore. Like even my partner today, we had a conversation and she got triggered and she said something and it like went right through me. And I'm like, no, like Laura, I get it. You got triggered. It's like when in the past I would have responded and like reacted and probably said something. And so that's the potential paralysis. And those are where like, it's, I can live the life that I want to live and I'm going to be good. And the other shoe isn't going to drop. I'm ready to let go of all the stuff that's holding me back. Hopefully that answers.
Yeah,
your question.
Absolutely. Yeah. It does. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's cause like we're very big on the personal development and the growth and I'm a big component of coaching in general. I mean,
oh yeah.
Therapist is like a life coach. You know, you've got your business coach, strength coach, nutrition coach, all different coaches. And
yeah.
I've got all of them. But, you know, and we read a lot of books and like it goes like Tim Grover puts it. And I don't, you know, and it makes sense in a way, but is it like, is that really what you want? But he was saying like, if you want to be the best at one thing, that means you're not going to be the best at other things. So if you want to be the best and have success and really grow your business as an entrepreneur, there's things that are going to take a back seat to that and take, you know, like, hey,
I want to be the best entrepreneur, that means you're not going to be able to be the best father, best husband, all that, because you're putting all your effort into being the best at this. Or if you want to be the best father, you know, things are going to take sacrifices. So you may not be the best husband, or you may not be the best entrepreneur.
Yeah.
How do you feel about a statement like that?
No.
Somebody.
Great question. And this is the experience I've had over the last year, especially like as I've leaned into my relationship with my wife and raising my kids in a more powerful, like healthy way, as well as my own personal health. Like it started in April of like 75 hard, and I'm more locked in, and the experience is different for me as well. Where people are saying not just, hey, I look better, but like, oh, you're showing up differently. Your energy is different. Your aura is different. Never has happened before.
Well, how you do one thing is how you do everything.
Right. And to answer your question, like as soon as you mentioned Tim Grover, Relentless, right?
Yeah.
Like it came to my mind. So, because this is the a conversation I had with myself, because that's the thing I was worried about of like, oh, right. If I'm going to have this success, I'm going to sacrifice everything else.
Right.
What I'm actually finding is that it is true. But it's only true to the extent of what you are willing to prioritize. Like, so if you want to have that success to be a billionaire, like you're going to have to live that life to get to be a billionaire. It doesn't mean you've got to sacrifice like my morals. I've got to sacrifice. What I'm actually finding in this process is, you know, I have been a big video game player over the years, like grew up in it, you know, started with Nintendo back in the day, had the consoles. And what I'm finding is as I'm valuing my health, as I'm valuing my relationships, as I'm valuing my business more, video games, I still love them, but that gets put to the last on the list. Like I won't play a video game if I've got reading to do on my personal development, if I've got leads to do, like I've got my strides list with all my habits. So it doesn't actually, you don't have to make a sacrifice. What I'm finding is it will actually slowly attrition itself out. It dies by a thousand choices versus like, I'm going to sacrifice this in my life. Because you learn to prioritize really what's important for you and then live that life. And then as you're elevating and you're going towards that next level, you find out like what is blocking you. For me, the next one is like, I'm worried about like selling and coaching and feeling like I have to exploit people in order, like their pain and their troubles, which is what a coach does. We help dig into that and find it. But like, I don't want to feel like I'm exploiting people in order to do that. I've got to learn how to navigate that and be more upfront and be honest with people. And how do I do it in a way where I feel in integrity with it and it's in line with that next level, right? So there are a couple different points. I don't think you have to like, hey, I'm going to go build this successful business and I'm going to burn everything down in order to do it. Burn the boats, as they say with Tony Robbins. But there is definitely a line of demarcation you're going to put in the sand on what you're willing to tolerate, and that continues to grow over time. So it's more of an attrition and more of a slow growth, and you're going to navigate that as opposed to feeling like I've got to just cut everything out of my life to get what I want.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, because that's where I'm at. I'm like, because I want to be an amazing father, and that was part of the problem is, you know, I was so focused on the growth of my business that early on when the kids were born that I kind of pushed my now ex-wife, pushed her to the side and pushed that relationship with the kids to the side. And now since the divorce and all that, I you know, I've learned a lot and putting more focus on, especially the kids, and obviously not my ex-wife. We're friends. We've got a great relationship, but
co-parenting.
Yeah. But now it's like, how can I show up and still it's like you said, it's that balance, figuring out that balance on how I can still be successful as a mortgage lender, as well as still be a solid and great father for my kids.
Yeah.
And it's tough. It's a lot of work, but if that's what you want, you got to put the work in.
The version of you that has everything that you want in your life is within us. We are like literally an acorn turning into an oak tree, and it is only, it's only unfamiliar to us right now. It's not like living that life will become familiar when you live that life every day over and over again.
Right.
And then it just becomes easy. It becomes who we are.
Right.
And that's the thing I talked about earlier, reference callback. When I talked to my kids about like, when was the last time, like when I can say, I don't remember the last time I did X, that means I've evolved out of it.
Right.
And it's not me anymore. Now, do I still have it in me? Oh yeah. I yelled on Saturday at my wife, you know, on the way to get to the dog because X, Y, and Z doesn't matter. And I made amends and I apologized for it. And she was in her trigger. And so like, that can still happen, Does it happen like it used to, like once a week?
Right.
No, it probably hasn't happened in almost a year. And that's what happens. We're just changing like how often we're doing this habit, replacing the habit that's not healthy over time. It's the yin and yang as I see it. So.
Go ahead.
Oh, no.
So I was going to say with the coaching stuff, how does that work with somebody that's going through your program? I know you mentioned you have different tiers or different levels.
Different services.
And so, you know, if someone's signing up for, you know, what's a top tier look like? Is that like weekly phone calls, biweekly phone calls?
Yeah.
How's that?
Yep. Work? So our full spectrum, we use this as a building block. So like our first service leads into our second service, which then leads into our full back end servicing. So our first service is all about getting to the root of what you're dealing with, getting clarity on the blind spot, really. Because if we don't know what's in the blind spot, planning out your next year, you're going to have the same results you're already having, right? So we get clarity on the blind spot in our intro service. We call it the executive solve. We're going to solve for you and get you real solves for what is actually happening and getting you some cleaning up in here before we take you into our executive flow, which is what we call building out your full year vision. The full year vision with four objectives on how you want your business to be experienced, not the metrics. That will come, but the experience, like I want stable income. I want growth. I want to be like the one we have is I want to have a growth plan in place by the end of the year for hiring next year. Like that's an experience, right? And then we metric it out. And we also put skills to it because that's what most people need to build is their skill set that equates to what objective is there. It's a gap, right? Mm-hmm. We're just looking to close the gap between your current reality and the preferred reality, right? So you do skills and then you get the metrics around it. And then you build out your 90-day goals, and we do that every quarter. That second service comes with the first service, building out that flow, and then we have a follow-up for 1 month, and then we have a follow-up in 3 months so that we can rebuild your next 90-day rocks so we see how you integrate the process, and you get a digital Trello board. You get all this, right? We build it out for that half day. And then the full servicing on the back end can look two different ways. We have a weekly group meeting. One or every other week it goes in person in our St. Charles office. And then we have Zoom, right? Some people like Zoom, some people like in person. So we do that every week with a group of guys, right? A group of entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a woman yet. We've done some of the lower end services, but the full service. So we have the weekly meeting and then we have a once a month with my partner Grant or myself where we go deep dive into like whatever you're having trouble with once a month for an hour. Sometimes they go 90 minutes, but like we'll go deep diving in that where sometimes we can't get to that answer in the weeklies. In the weeklies, we review what you're going on. The first month of the quarter, we have engagement, like how are you engaging your process? The second month, we have pivots. We review the transformation statement, the metrics, and your rocks to make sure they are on track and they are the right ones. And then the third month, we rebuild. We evaluate your ideas, your shiny objects is what we call them in your parking lot. And then we also build out your next rocks in that meeting in the weeklies, right? And then the monthly one-on-ones is just a one-on-one to kind of maintain and any deep education that you're wanting. In those weeklies as well, we'll handle any business that you guys might be running into on a weekly basis that's preventing you from moving forward powerfully or those curveballs that you're not expecting. We handle that in the group. And then that whole package together is what we call the executive portfolio, and that's the one that's 24 grand. So, and then there's like different pricing on those models. So,
got it. Yep. So are most of your clients real estate investors or does it kind of vary?
It's been about 70% so far are investors. Yeah. And
what are some of the other businesses? You
know, demo and junk removal. We had Corey who was the photographer. We've had, quality auto repair. So we had a tire, and a repair shop that was out in Maryland Heights. Trying to think if there's any other business ones. Can't draw. Those are the three that have had the most success in how they've engaged with it. So yeah, outside of that, I can't think of any other ones off the top of my head, but yeah, most of them are investors. And even our demo and junk removal guy, he came in because he's got 30 plus rental properties. He came in with the intention to like build that out. And when you get into it through the blind spots and stuff, he's like, no, I actually feel like I built a job with this demo and junk removal company. So we focused on that for the next year. And then now he's re-upped. He's brought another business in. He's got that one moving. And that's the thing, like his rental portfolio is by just osmosis. is growing with all the stuff that he's been putting in with his other businesses and how much time he's had available to
I'm
it.
Sure
so.
You're kind of putting him in another network of other people.
Oh yeah.
You know, that are helping him grow there.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
What would you say is like the most common, you know, you said first thing you're going to do is identify those blind spots. Is mm-hmm. there a real common blind spot that you see amongst a lot of the same people or?
Yeah. So they normally revolve around, feelings of inadequacy. They revolve around feelings of worth. They revolve around, there's one around significance, like, am I going to live into my potential? There's also ones where there one that we had last time was it was a woman, female business owner that went through, and because she was building out this new business, but because she is in a male-dominated industry, it was that she always felt she was being minimized, right? And so in that experience, you've got to handle it, even though it's coming up as inadequacy or not being worthy, it's a projection of like being minimized out there. And then if you're feeling that internally, you are going to also minimize everything externally. So the business isn't good enough, the people, the clients, like it's not enough money. And so like clearing that up for her, she actually realized like, oh, I don't need to do it this way. I can do it a different way. So the most of them, it's really around just those wounds that we talked about mm-hmm. as growing up and having that experience of like, really, how is it impacting me? What is the cost of this? And yeah, the inadequacy for me is huge. The worth, the insecurity. Oh, insecurity is another one. Like I don't trust the world. I don't trust myself. I don't trust things to happen the way that I'm going to plan them out. It's a belief system around like just lack of faith. Right. So those are kind of those are just really the three kind of pillars that people operate from.
Yeah. Either. So when you say feelings of inadequacy, like how is that showing itself in their business? You don't mind me asking.
Yeah. So
on that a little bit.
Yeah. So feelings of inadequacy will normally show up as, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm not bought into the value of the thing I'm providing. I'm having trouble hiring people is a good one. Like I can't find the right people. Right.
Yeah.
Well, if you can't find the right people, why can't you find the right people? You start asking those questions. And a lot of times it will come down to that feeling of inadequacy. Not that I can't find the right people. It's that when I find the right people, I don't feel I'm a good enough leader to actually lead the people and they're going to leave me. Right. Like I'm going to get abandoned because I'm not good enough to lead them the way that I need to, or I'm not providing enough value for them to stay. And that's really where I'm stuck. Right.
That makes sense. Because I relate to that for sure.
Right. And what happens is we'll hire somebody to help us with hiring. We'll hire somebody to find the right people. We'll hire a recruiter. And really it's like, no, you feel your leadership skills are inadequate. And if we can start cleaning that up, guess what happens? The person that you're looking for will show up through the woodwork. You don't even need to like go out and really, I mean, granted, you need to take some action, but like the amount of action and effort you're taking isn't fruitless because of you're not finding the right people. It's because you're operating from that blind spot and we just have to clean that up.
Yeah, I mean, like Jocko, I mean, right now we do a book of the month. And so last month was Extreme Ownership. This month was Dichotomy of Leadership and diving into all those leadership skills. And they, I mean, one of my favorite quotes is from that, but there are two of them. But one of them is, there's no bad teams, just bad leaders. And so, yeah, I mean, anybody that's in a leadership position always has to take a look at themselves and all that. And I know that I have an issue with trying to find people that I want on my team. I'm very peculiar about who I want because of the standards that I hold for the people that I'm working with.
Yeah.
And working on my team. And so it requires a certain skill set, and not just like the ability to do loans, but the ability to pick up the phone and call people and be told no over and over and over again and not get discouraged by that.
Yeah.
And that's a hard trait to find in people.
Yeah.
I can train them and teach them to do all the other things. It's just trying to find those people with that. So that's where I run into issues. But then the other, you know, it's like, hey, my action or inaction will always have some sort of outcome, good or bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's tough. Being a leader is very tough.
Yeah.
And having that skill set to be a leader is tough to get to and hard to find. I mean, do you guys put a lot of time and focus on building those leadership skills, and or
Yeah. So for us, and I'll just speak for myself, like for me, leadership skills are about leading yourself. Like, mm-hmm. how are you leading? And one of the things you talked on is like that reflection piece of, like it is a reflection of me. I am fully, we as humans are amazing at creation. Like without a doubt, what's the saying? Like our process to create is flawless, right? But the direction we point it in is sometimes misguided, right? And so that's where we're talking, like, there's not specific leadership skills, I would say. Like, for me, empathy is huge. In regards to me, empathy is huge. Compassion, understanding, boundaries is huge. Emotional regulation is huge. And then, like, how to have communication, like, mm-hmm. direct communication that is not aggressive. It's assertive, not aggressive. Those are kind of the big ones. But for me, it's having you live the life and run the business that you really want in your experience. How does it look like for you to be a leader, right? What type of leader do you want to be? Because there's different types. There's transformational, which I think I'm more in, which are all about like the rah-rah and we're going to move you, like get you motivated to move yourself. There's transactional leaders, which, you know, they make sure everything is on point. They're running their systems. Like they're going to make sure everything's handled in a secure, stabilized way. And then there's the servant leaders, which are going to make sure everybody is on board and everybody is good with what they need to do and solve any problems that come up for them. And then a mix of both is like really what you're looking for. But how do you lead with that? Like which angle really aligns with you? For me, it's the transformational, like without a doubt. Like if I'm not up on myself and I'm not validating myself and I'm not cheering myself on, like anybody that I'm leading, they're going to feel it, right? And then it's different for everybody. So,
so like for me, like when I'm dealing with clients and people are thinking about buying a house, I always say, here is a handful of questions that you need to be able to answer before you even apply to purchase a house.
Yeah.
Do you have anything like for people that are thinking about getting an entrepreneurship or becoming an entrepreneur? Are there some questions or things that they need to consider or ask themselves before they make that leap?
So the question is, are there any things that people should consider before taking that leap into entrepreneurship?
Correct.
As far as
some things that they should ask themselves, like,
oh yeah,
you know,
without a doubt. Are you, same conversation I had with my dog, like, are you committed? In my experience, people love the vision. People love the excitement of getting to the top of the mountain. My partner, Laura, we just talked about it this morning. Everyone loves the top of the mountain. The problem is you have to walk up that freaking mountain to get to the top of the mountain. So you're not going to know what's going to be required of you to have the business that you want to have. Are you committed and are you in that experience where, and this is the phrase that always comes up in entrepreneurship, as long as you don't quit, you will succeed. I am a firm believer in that because what happens is if you are committed and you don't quit, can we curse on
that? Absolutely.
That shit will get so painful, you will not have a choice. As long as in your mind, I'm not going to quit is the foundational commitment, then it will get so painful, you will not have a choice but to figure it the hell out, right? So are you willing to not quit? Now, that doesn't mean like I'm not going to make pivots in my business. I'm not going to do those areas, but are you willing to not quit? It's the first one. Second one. Are you willing to ask for the support that you actually need in order to move through those levels as well? So like whether it's coaching, whether it's you're building a team that does the special things and they own that piece that you aren't great at, right? Being willing to build those teams would be the second one. Third one for me is like, how is your emotional capacity? How is your emotional? Because for us, one of the things we're getting very present on in the experience with people and business owners is the emotional world, like it shrinks your capacity to do business, right? So, and what I mean by that, a great example is like we've talked about it. Like if my home life and my relationship with my wife is not solid, I have that as a stabilizing force in my life for my business, right? Not that it's her responsibility, but if it is not, well, that is an emotional capacity that then I no longer have to do actions in my business because I have an energy and a focus over in this arena of my life. So it's not just, and for me, when I got in my own experience, I got in thinking if I can build a business that I love or that like is successful, it will solve every other area in my life. get real honest with yourself about is, am I willing to build all of those other pieces of my life to be as successful that I prioritize as I want my business to be? Because that's what it's going to be. That's for me what's required. Like, my relationship with my wife has to be solid. The relationship with my kids has to be on point. My health now, more than ever, like, that's the one this year that has really, like, solidified for me. Like, if I'm not, there's been so many times this year where, like, I woke up with some anxiety or I woke up with some fear going out for a walk, going out and hitting the gym, like, getting that win in right out of the gate, it changes your mental chemistry. Oh, yeah. It changes your physical chemistry. Like, it sets you on a path. Those two pillars have to be in place. And then faith is the third one for me. Like, those three pillars have to be solid in order for me to even go out and work to build the business the way I need to.
I couldn't agree more, man. Like, if especially on the health aspect, man, if I'm not taking care of that, that's the first thing everything else in my life just seems to kind of crumble.
Right.
If I'm not where I need to be, if I'm not working out or I'm eating like shit, it affects everything in my life.
Yeah. So. And the amazingness of this is, for me as well, like, I'm seeing it's an evolution. It doesn't have to be black and white. Like, I'm not on one day. It's an evolution, because where I'm at now, my tolerances, what we talked about, are far less than what they used to be. I used to go 30 pounds like on a up and down. And now it's like, ooh, I finished 75 hard the day I left for vacation to Michigan. And I pulled off the restrictors. I was like, there's no work. There's no 75 hard the day after. I didn't eat terrible, but I definitely like no restrictions. And contrast, you can see the contrast and feel the contrast. I was like, ooh, by like 5-6 pounds in, my back is starting to hurt. Like, getting up in the morning to go for my walk, this sucks. I don't like doing this, but I'm going to do it because it's what I do now. And like, that tolerance has gotten much lower, to where it's like, oh, I know I'm in a 5-7 pound window now, as opposed to like, I used to let myself go for 30 to 40 pounds before it was really like, oh, this is detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's the same thing in personal relationships with business. Like, I fully have conversations with my wife where it's like, hey, I feel we're drifting apart a little bit. Like, let's have a date night. Let's go do something. As opposed to before, like, it would take weeks and it'd be just uncomfortable. So your tolerances shorten and they start elevating. And that's really where you start seeing the most progress. That's how I kind of look at it.
Good way to look at it. I like that.
For sure. Well, you got anything else that you want to pitch on here before we let you go?
Yeah. Gateway to Freedom, October event, October 17th, 18th, and 19th. If you go to the website, g2free.com, you can go and look at, we have different ticket prices. There's a couple different levels on there as far as like general admission. We've got a gold membership, a gold ticket, and then like a platinum one. This year, what we're doing differently, last year was all investor education. So we've got like 30 plus people that are coming in this year to speak from all over St. Louis, as well as we've got some big names in the investing world, like Amy Majori, as well as if you know Jamil Danji, who's like nationwide.
Bigger pockets.
Yeah, Bigger Pockets. What is it, Astro Flipping, stuff like that. He's coming in to be a speaker, as well as Sam Prim and Lucas Walls from St. Louis and Brian Schroeder. Yep. And so, and we, what we took from last year, we are having a half day business day. So it's not just about investor education, which is the general and the gold package on those second days. This one is a half day around building your business as well. So whether small business owners or like investors that are going to leverage and not just want to come for education and building community, that's a great ticket if you go with the platinum, and then you get lunch, and it's all on the website. We've had a great revamp of the website. We learned from last year, and yeah, it's going to be a great event. So October 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Okay.
And that's g2free.com.
Yep.
Okay.
Awesome, man. Yep.
Well,
that's your tombstone.
Oh, yeah. So we always end it with one surprise question, catch people off guard. We call it the tombstone game. All right.
Okay.
So, here lies Josh. What do you want to say on your tombstone?
Oh, shit. I've actually had this thought a couple times. I will say my fear used to be that I would have my funeral and no one would show up. And I can feel it now, tearing up. Now I want my tombstone to say, like, he did his best to live the best version of his life he could.
All right, guys, that concludes the show. Make sure if you haven't subscribed yet, please click that subscribe button up in the corner. Hit the like button, comment what you guys thought below, and we will see you next time.